Good to see you all here. Moedon Ivri, Club Hebrew. We are right in the middle of chapter 9. I think we're going to be able to finish up chapter 9 and maybe get a verse or two into chapter 10 today on the anointment of Saul, the ordination of Saul to be king. And it's chapter 10 is exceedingly interesting to see what happens. You guys may be familiar with the story, but if not, you'll learn about it or have your memories refreshed, because we don't talk about it very much. But we are actually at verse 22 where Samuel is talking to Saul. So chapter 9 of 1 Samuel, verse 22, where it says, Vayikach Shemuel et Shaul. So Samuel took Saul, again notice that's from Lakach, ve'et na'aro, and his servant, Vayevi'em lishkata, and brought them to the room. Remember, we had this word, this lishka, last time, and evidently there is a building off to the side of the bama, the high altar, in which it was a room actually with stone seating on three sides, and evidently that's where the sacrificial meals would be eaten. All right. I guess they have some archaeological findings of rooms like this. So he brought them into the lishka. Notice that there's a directive hey on that. That's why you get the ending lishkata. Okay. So he brought them to the room, vayitain, and he gave to them a makom, a place, berosh, at the head of the keruim. All right. Everybody see the keruim? That's a simple call, passive participle. And just remember, participles can be have both characteristics of nouns and characteristics of verbs. And here you can see it's used as a noun. And those who were invited, the invitees, we might say. So he put them at the place at the head of those who were invited. Okay, so they got the head table. Vehema, and they were kishloshim. Notice that that's the numeral sheloshim 30 plus the preposition ka. So about, and notice it means approximation, about 30 men. And remember, with idioms like this, common words, you're not going to have the plural of ish, you're going to have the singular with numbers. Okay, so it's kind of a collective here. All right? Any questions about any of the verb forms in verse 22? All right, let's go to verse 23. Hi, guys. We're right in the middle of a big event here. Vayomer Shemuel la tabach. Then Samuel said to the tabach, the cook. Remember that, what's the root underneath this? You guys may have learned this in Hebrew 1. Tabach. Remember? It means to slaughter. Sometimes it's... You could probably translate this as the butcher. But notice the form of the word. See the patach under the first root letter and then the comets? Remember, I think I mentioned this before, that form of noun very often indicates professions. All right, so the tabach, he's in that kind of profession. All right, so he said to the cook, tena. What's the root of tena? Common verb. Natan. Call imperative with that, okay. That crazy comet's hey at the end, indicating action directed to or for the benefit of the speaker. Okay, so Samuel said to the cook, put the mana, the portion asher natati, the portion which I gave to you, which I said to you, sim ota imar, put it with you. That's a call imperative, sim. Remember, that's a hollow verb, so the imperative of kum would be kum, imperative of sim, sim. That's what you got there. In other words, Samuel had evidently prepared beforehand to have a portion held back, because he knew that they were coming. It's kind of interesting. So again, give or put the portion which I gave to you, which I said to you, put it with you. Okay. In other words, he told the cook to keep it apart, and that's what you're getting there in that verse. Okay. Any questions? Verse 23. Okay. Verse 24. Va yarom hatabach et hashok ve'alet ha. Vayasem lifnei Shaul. Okay, what's the root of Vayarem? What is it? Someone got it. It's from room, another hollow verb, and it's a hiphil. In the call, it means to be high. Here, it simply means he lifts. The subject is hataba. So the cook, we would probably say, took the shok, that's the word for thigh, took the thigh, the he'elileha, what's the root? From Allah, good. Hifil from Allah. So he took the cook took the thigh and brought it up, vayasem, and he put it, lifnei Shaul, before Saul. Okay? Vayomer. Now, here it's interesting because there seems to be a change in speakers without indication. I don't think the cook is talking. I think Samuel's talking. And most translations will actually have Samuel in brackets here because it's not clear. But notice what he says. The reason that translations do that is because it becomes pretty clear that Samuel's talking to Saul and not anyone else. So Samuel said, Hine, look, ha nishar. That's from the root sha'ar, a nifal participle. It refers to the thigh. Look, or you might want to translate, here is that which was held back, that which is left over. From sha'ar means to be left over, to be remaining. So here's the leftover. Seem, another call imperative, put it lefaneka, before you. Another call imperative, eat, okay, ki la moed, because for the appointed time, for this appointed time, shamur, what form is that? From shamar, call passive participle. Okay, so he's saying, eat, for at the appointed time, it has been kept. Shamar means to guard or to keep, here to be kept. It has been kept for you. Alright, so he's saying, look, put it before you, eat, because it has been kept for you for this time, for the appointed time, namely the moed, the time of the feast, the time of the eating. Okay? And now this next three words, lemor ha'am karati. It's very obscure here in Hebrew what the heck it means. And if you'll notice, there's a footnote that gives you the Septuagint has a different reading. Theodotion has a different reading. The Latin translations have different readings. And to try to make sense of the Masoretic text is very difficult. Literally, it's saying, the people I called. Everybody see that? Lemor, saying, the people I called. So it's something like this. Eat, because it has been kept to you for the appointed time. Something like, as was said to the people I called. I mean, you have to kind of make sense of it. Most translations, you'll have trouble recognizing the English on the basis of the Hebrew with these words. Because it's what it means is difficult. All right. And a couple translations had a little footnote that said, Hebrew text uncertain. And it certainly is here. Okay, it becomes clear here at the last part of the verse, though. Vayo kol Shaul im Shemuel. So Saul ate with Samuel bayom hahu, on that day. Okay. Questions about verse 24? Okay. Vayerdu mehabama ha'ir. Then they, what's the root of yerdu? Yarad, very good. It's a call, imperfect vav, consecutive, third masculine plural from Yarad, to go down. Then they went down, me ha-bama, from the bama, say, ha'ir, to the city. Notice, we've seen this in Samuel over and over again. There's no prepositions, there's no locative hey, you just get it from the context what the relationship is. We know from the context, remember that they went out from the city to the bama. The bama was outside of the city. And so notice how we fill the gap and smooth out the English. So they went down from the Bama to the city. Vayedaber, and he, now who's the subject? Well, we only know because of what's next. He spoke with Saul. So you know Samuel's the subject, see? And so Samuel spoke with Saul, al ha-gag. Anyone know what the root for God, what gag means? It means roof. He spoke with Saul on the roof. All right, now in English, you know, in our English culture, we're going, what the heck is he talking about? They went out of the city. Next thing you know, they're up on the roof, because we don't talk to people on the roof. unless you're Jeremy in the Zitz cartoon, who's always laying on the roof philosophizing about life. But evidently, the gap to be filled is filled a little in the next verse, where we find out that evidently Saul spent the night on the roof of Samuel's house. Remember, Samuel had a house in this city. And evidently, what it's not telling you is that they went home and just were having a conversation. So we just get the bare bones of it. And if you're an ancient Israelite, it makes perfect sense. For us, it's weird. Okay? Verse 25, any questions? Okay, because next time now, verse 26, all of a sudden, he's getting up the next morning. Vayashkimu. Remember, this is the Hifil from Shakam, and it means to get up early. This is a common word you'll see when people wake up in the morning. All right? Abraham yashkimed when he was instructed to kill his son Isaac. He got up early the next morning. See, so vayashkimu, they got up early. Vayahi ka'alot. Now notice that ka'alot, what's the root? From Allah, and notice it's an infinitive construct. Okay, call infinitive constructs of third haze have that ot ending, and the kaf in front of it tells you that this is an infinitive as well, and it's a temporal. The function is temporal. So now, let me just translate very rough English. And it came to pass as soon as Hashaka, as soon as the sun came up, or the dawn came up, literally, as soon as the dawn came up. See, we would probably say, at the crack of dawn, kind of idiomatically, Vayikra Shemuel, Samuel called to Saul, Hagag, on the roof. Here again, typical style, no preposition. We're just filling in the preposition because of English. Okay? Called to Samuel on the roof, Lamor, saying, Kuma, call in imperative, rise, get up, Va'ashalcheka, so that I can send you. Notice that that's from Shalach. Alright? And it's a PL with the second masculine singular suffix. And I will send you. So rise so that I can send you. Or, and I will send you. Okay? Saul's very obedient. By Yaakov Shaul. Notice you don't get any reflection from Saul so far. It's very kind of just very actions. So Saul got up. By Yaakov. From Kum. By Yetzu. Shenehem, and the two of them, he and Samuel, Yetzud, went out, Hachutza, went out to the outside. In other words, they left the house, Hachutza. Okay? questions about verse 26? Anything up through that point? Okay? Everybody with me here? All right, now notice the word order here, because we're getting now, as we saw last week, the same thing. You don't have a vav consecutive starting verse 27. And you're going to see that these actions are juxtaposed one on top of each other. Hema yordim bikzeh ha'ir. They were going down. Notice that's a participle from yarad. So it's literally the pronoun he from they. They were going down bikzeh to the end of the city. We would say to the outskirts of the city. Okay. Ushemuel and Samuel said to Saul. Okay. Now notice how I kind of translated very roughly. They were going down to the end of the city, and Samuel said to Saul. Now in good English, how do those two clauses relate to each other? You have a participle and a finite verb, notice. Notice you...
As they were going
okay,
down?
Right. Notice that the talking happened while they were walking. So you have this particular construction which we saw at the same time. So you might want to translate, while they were walking to the outskirts of the city, Samuel said to Saul. Right, everybody see that? Now here's the imperative, and more. Say la na'ar, speak to the servant, the ya'avor, and let him pass lefaneinu, before you. Okay, now notice how it's going. Speak to the servant so that he might pass before you. In other words, he wants the servant to go on ahead. Now notice what form it is. This is kind of like Vayavor, and he went ahead. Okay, so notice that that Vayavor is almost a parenthesis to the main thought. Samuel says to Saul, tell your servant to go on ahead. And he went ahead. Okay? Now notice what follows. Ve'atah, and you, Amod, stand. And you stay, namely stay. And you stay, call imperative, kayom. Remember we said that kayom doesn't mean always as today, but sometimes it means now or here. So here you would translate, but you stay here, kayom. Notice the idiom here. So you stay here. Ve'ashmiaka. What's the root? From Shama. And the conjugation here is not call, but hifil. So I will cause you to hear, but probably better to translate. I will tell you et divrei Elohim. I will tell you a word of God, or the word of God. And probably here better translate the word from God. What God has to say to you. Okay? So notice the syntax of verse 27 is kind of convoluted, but if you just follow carefully and look at the verb forms, but especially how the thoughts of the clauses relate to each other, you can begin to see how the verse fits together. Notice that there's nothing difficult as far as the lexical stuff, the meaning of the words. It's how do the bigger parts of the sentence fit together that may cause you trouble. Okay? Does anyone have any questions about that? Alright, we start in chapter 10 now and the story deepens. Vayikach Shemuel et pak ha-shemen. Then Samuel took a pak, that's not a common word, a flask, the flask of oil, shemen. Remember that from Hebrew 1? Took the flask of oil. Now even if you don't know this word, you can guess what you think it means. Vayitzok. Vayitzok al rosho. And he poured it on his head, and you are right. From Yatzak. Okay, so he took the pak Hashem and vayitzak al rosho, and he poured it on his head. See how context can help you figure out meanings of words even though you don't have never seen them before. Vayishakehu. This is a little harder. And he kissed him. This is from the root nun shin kaf, nashak. And it is a call, imperfect vav consecutive. The nun has assimilated, and you see that with the dagesh in the shin. And since it's in pause, the vowel forms lengthen. So it looks almost like a nifal form, but it's not. It's a call. Okay. So he poured the oil on his head and he kissed him. Vayomer. And he said, Haloki Meshachaka Yahweh. Now look at this. Notice that interrogative hey plus lo. Halo. Is it not that? Okay, is it not that from Mashach? You guys get to know this root. You get our famous noun Mashiach from it. It's to anoint. Is it not that Yahweh has anointed you? Alright? So, you could translate it in better English. Has not Yahweh anointed you? Or like, actually, I even like what the Jewish Publication Society translation makes this a performative. Instead of saying, is it not that Yahweh has anointed you? It's more like, Yahweh hereby anoints you. Al nachalato, over his inheritance, from nachala, over his inheritance, lenagid, as a leader. Nagid. Okay? So, is it not that Yahweh has anointed you, or Yahweh has hereby anointed you, or hereby anoints you over his inheritance as a nagid? So notice there was no fanfare. It was just Samuel and Saul. It's kind of interesting. We think of, you know, anointings as huge celebrations. And sometimes they were, but sometimes you just have it here. Saul and Samuel coming together. Okay? Any questions about verse 1? Okay, verse 2. We'll do 2 and then stop here because it's a pretty long verse. Belekteka hayom me imadi. What's the root of belekteka? Good. Halak. Call infinitive construct with a bait in front of it. You can bet it's temporal. In your walking, hayom, today. In your walking. Or when you walk today, me imadi. From with me. Remember, Hebrew loves to pile up prepositions. This is just the preposition min plus imad. So, in English we'd say, when you today walk away from me, U'matzata shnei anashim im kevurat Rachel. You will find, from matzah, second masculine singular call, you will find shnei anashim, two men. Notice that the numeral two is in construct. It doesn't have to be, but this is one style. You will find two men. And here, it's interesting that men is plural. And I don't know if that has to do with just the fact that it's a smaller number, or that it's just a different style, or if there's some pattern discernible, that'd make a nice little paper to see. I don't know. You will find two men. Im kevurat. See that word kevurat? If I said the word kever, does that ring a bell? Good, Paulo. It means grave, from kavar to bury. Here's another word for grave, kevura. And notice, im, you guys know, is with, but here it means near or by. So by the grave of Rachel. You will find two men by the grave of Rachel, Bigvul Binyamin, in the borders of Benjamin, at Zelzach, that's the name of a village. At Zelzach, Ve Omru, and they will say, Eleka, to you, Nimtzeu Ha'atonot. Ha'atonot, remember, means the asses. So notice you have the root from Nimtzeu, from Azmatzah, to find. So you guess that this is a Niphal perfect third masculine plural verb. The asses have been found. Okay? Which halakta you went labakesh, to seek. A PL from Bakash. Okay? And they will say to you, the asses which you went to seek have been found. Vehine, and behold, Natash Avika. And behold, your father has Natash to abandon. Your father has abandoned literally words of the asses. In other words, he's abandoned his concern about the asses. Okay, the matter of the asses. The da'ag, and he has become worried. Da'ag means to be anxious or worried. He's become worried for you, saying, Ma e'eseh livnei. What will I do about my son? Okay, because he's been gone so long. Alright, so Saul got it right. He knew his father well. He knew his father would worry. Just like my daughter knows my wife's going to worry if she's 5 minutes late, but my daughter never bothers to call. Now you figure that out psychologically. She's torturing her.
Okay. Is that plural?
Yes.
So
he must be talking both to Saul and his servant.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I'm assuming here, at least. Okay, good. We'll stop there. Any other questions about verse 2? All right. Thank you very much for coming.